welcome everybody. On a Wednesday this week, Trash Talk with Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got my entire crew back together once again. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, Graham Richards, and Tyler Sawa are all here joining me today. Let's get into the show. We got a lot to talk about today. And as always, let's begin with the introductions. Gentlemen, for this week, I do want to change things up with the introductions. I want to start with Grant. Usually we end with Grant, but today I want to start with him. And the reason I'm starting with him is to talk about what is going on with his Vegas Raiders. We're going to talk Detroit sports in a few minutes here. This is a Detroit sports podcast at the end of the day. But as many of our listeners are aware, Grant is a Vegas Raiders fan. So I want to get him in here to start the show to talk about the big news right now involving John Gruden and the Vegas Raiders. So, Grant, take as much time as you need. Give me your reaction with everything going on right now with regards to John Gruden being out as the Vegas Raiders head coach.
To get into that just very briefly, that's no way to coach a locker room. I know it wasn't it didn't happen when he was coaching, but like having those beliefs and ideologies are very shocking. You, me, and Tyler were in a call last night when it all kind of dropped, and that was just like, I knew more was coming. I knew he didn't just fire off one email, but you can't coach a team like that. I mean, like, football locker rooms are so just diverse. He just about offended just about everybody in that locker room one way or another. So, I mean, I think it was wise of him to step down, go out on his terms or whatever. And I mean, I don't know what's in the future for him, but I am very excited to see what the Raiders kind of do, whether or not they ride with their special teams coach as the interim for the rest of the season, because they're 3-2. The season's not over by any means. I mean, like, the lead in the division's 4-1 right now, so they're game back, still competitive. They started 3-0, but he is out in week 5, and I think the Raiders kind of come out stronger from this. Whether or not they knew it, like, going in, he did address the team and say, I said a lot of stuff. Like, he gave them a warning. But I think the team gels better. And, I mean, it's a weird step, and hopefully we avoid rebuilding from a strictly football standpoint. It's been, in my opinion, a long time coming. I didn't see it happening the way it did. But, yeah.
He has no one to blame but himself, honestly. I mean, obviously what Gruden said was disgusting. I was thinking...
Definitely crossed a line or two.
I was trying to think of a word to describe it. I think disgusting fits it pretty well. I didn't think he put out a great statement afterwards explaining what happened. And now you would imagine he's going to be out of the league, which he should be if you ask me. But he's got no one to blame but himself for that. But,
can I just touch on something really quickly?
Go ahead.
Slightly unrelated. This all came from the NFL's probe into the Washington football team.
That's the craziest part about all this. It wasn't a Gruden investigation. It was an investigation into the football team, the Washington football team. And
yet nothing's come out from Washington?
I have no idea. But yeah, this was an investigation into the Washington football team, and Gruden is the one who gets all this discovered about him, and now he's, again, you would think, going to be out of the league, which, as I've said, he has no one to blame other than himself. You can't make those comments. You can't make those comments 10 years ago, today, never. You can't make comments like that. You can't. So, yeah. But, Grant, is that everything that you wanted to get out?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right, so with that, let's move on to the rest of the show here then. Let's get into the rest of the introductions, and let's continue with Grant here. Since we are already talking with him, let's continue with him. Mike, you know the deal.
How was your sports betting this weekend?
I had a very good weekend of doing almost nothing but watching football and watching more football. Can't complain there. Raiders didn't win, but sports betting just absolutely killed it. I had an analogy based on my sports betting trends, but I'll just leave it at, don't take a parlay unless you feel really good about all the teams involved. That's all I want to say. That's kind of my point is I've been doing that. And like I said, Tony, I've been going 2-3, 2-3, 2-3, or 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 4, 3 out of 4, whatever. And I started going single bets and just kind of dominated this weekend. I know I usually go last, but Tony, if you want to get to it later, how was your sports betting weekend?
Hey, no, let's go ahead. But it was a winning week for you, though, because of the straight bets.
Oh, very much so. Just, yeah, if I didn't make that clear, just balled out this weekend.
That's what we love to hear. It was a winning sports betting week for Grant, and it was a winning bounce back sports betting week for me. And not only that, it was my biggest winning week since sports betting has been legal in Michigan. That's when I started sports betting in Michigan, is when it became legal. And since then, this past week was my biggest winning week. It was great. It was so great. Everything was hitting for me this week, whether it would be the baseball playoffs, college football Saturday, the NFL on Sunday. We hit a nice three-team NFL parlay on Sunday that felt really good to hit. That was the first NFL parlay I've hit this year, I think ever too. So that felt really good. And in general, it was a big sports betting winning week for me. I'm going to keep it going this week. Grant will too. Let's keep it going this week. Let's keep the introductions going. And let's start with Eli Bashy. How are you today, Eli? How are you spending your Tuesday night? We are recording this on a Tuesday night and uploading it on Wednesday. How's your night going? And by the time this comes out, we are going to be a week away from the Pistons season starting. So how are we feeling 1 week out from being inside LCA for Bulls and Pistons on opening night?
Yeah, I'm currently sitting here watching the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're up 2-0 in the second period. And
you're watching the first game back on the NHL on ESPN,
yeah, NHL
huh?
on ESPN. The scoreboard looks good. Cameras look good.
The camera angle is not it at all, but that's my only thing.
Yeah,
against.
I'm having trouble following the puck, but we'll get there. The Pistons play in a week, which, you know, we're all going to be there. So,
well,
you know,
we
God
think.
Willing.
I don't know about Jay.
Yeah. God willing, we'll all be there.
Jay said he's going to sell his ticket if Cade can't play.
Yeah, well, God willing, Cade will be there. Oh. Not in street clothes. I can't wait. I'm very excited. They played terrible yesterday, but who cares? It's preseason.
Yeah, she has it Monday. Yeah, it's the preseason. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, but I'm ready.
Eli's ready. What about Mike Bilica, though? Let's move on to him. Hi, Mike. How are you today? How are you feeling 1 week out from the Pistons? And also, how are you feeling after Alabama took a loss on Saturday?
Did you have to bring that up?
Oh, heck yeah,
really
I had to bring it
bring
up.
Anyways, I'll start with our teams. I'm excited for the season. I'm very excited to be at LCA with a full capacity crowd after so long. Hopefully it's full, you know, it's opening night. Hopefully Cade plays because that's just going to be a great, great time. I'm excited. Can't wait. Counting down. Just looking forward to it. But when it comes to Alabama, you know, it's happened before. You know what they're going to do. They're going to win out, get back into the playoff, and win it all. They're going to hoist up that national championship trophy. We know it's going to happen.
Do we?
We do.
I think Georgia might have a thing or two to say about that. But
I think Saban knows a little thing or two about
Kirby. Dogs. Go dogs. Oh, goodness. All right, Mike, good to see you again. Let's move on to Jay Horn. How are you today, Jay?
Hi.
Hi, Jay. How are you? How are we doing?
I had a good week. Did some
you?
Commentary for a volleyball
Jay,
game.
Jay, what are you microwaving, man?
Excuse me, that's double G in the background. Sorry. I did some commentary. What else did I do? I got the song this week. It's pretty cool, but I will say on this show, on a Wednesday, correct?
Yeah, this is coming out Wednesday. We're a week away from the Pistons season starting.
October 13th.
Yes.
If Cade Cunningham does not play in that game, I would not be attending. I would not be in attendance the entire. No Piston talk that whole night for me. I promise you, I would not say a word.
Are you actually going to like not go to the game?
I will contemplate going to that game until that day if he does not. If they say he would not play, because my whole outfit would be ruined if he doesn't play.
Well, mine too. I'm wearing my K jersey. I hope he plays. I don't know what's going on with Cade. I mean, the Pistons are always kind of... They've always been quiet with injuries. I remember DSJ had... He had, like, some type of injury last year. Then he never played for us again.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
I don't know. Cade went from... shout out to James Edwards III. I remember he tweeted something along the lines of, "It doesn't seem to be serious," I think is what James said. And now, and I'm not calling out James or anything. I'm just reiterating what he said. But we went from that to now being a week out and he has not practiced. He's shooting, but, and he's also not in a boot or on crutches. So there is that, but he's still not actually practicing, I don't think. So I don't know. I mean, Eli, you're the not doctor here. I mean, can you have like a serious ankle issue and yet not be in a boot or be on crutches?
It's kind of, I think they're just being careful with him.
They are. They've said that a lot. Which they should be cautious. That is your number one overall pick. And I tweeted this on Tuesday night, too, not to cut you off. I tweeted this on Tuesday night, too. They should be cautious. If he is not 100%, don't play him. But it's still going to be sad, though. I mean, we got tickets to opening night. He's not going to be there. But what else were you going to say, though?
I was going to say it's probably not serious if he's not in a boot. And if he's like, the writers have said he's out there, you know, taking jump shots and going through shoot around and stuff.
Yeah. He's just not practicing. That's the thing.
Yeah. Him not practicing. I guess he just is not going to play 5-on-5 for now, but he doesn't have that many days left. I hope he can get a couple practices in. I don't expect to see him in preseason.
No, put him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, I think he will play opening night, maybe on a minutes restriction or something. Because, you know, you don't wait 50 years and get the number one pick and then throw him out if he's hurt, you know?
Yeah.
They're being as careful as possible, I think, with him.
They should.
And also,
they should
ban low-top basketball shoes because they just cause problems.
We'll see. We're a week out. We will definitely see. Jay, your boy Sekou's with our Lakers now. What's your thoughts on that? He's Russ's teammate.
No. He's a G League teammate. He will not see that main roster the entire season.
Hey, the Lakers need some youth.
Go Lakers, number 5 on the way, but he would not touch that roster.
Yeah. Oh. What if he does and he goes off?
God bless Sekou. 45s everywhere.
LeBron and Sekou are teammates, man. They're on the same team right now.
Good for him. He'll learn some stuff with LeBron, hopefully. That'd be good for him.
Yeah. I still can't believe that Russ is a Laker with LeBron and AD. We've never actually talked about that yet, Jay. Maybe we'll do that next week for our Pistons preview. By the way, next week, Pistons preview. So maybe we could do Pistons and NBA preview next week, and we can talk about Russ, LeBron, AD, and how the Lakers are going to bring it home this year.
Sekou.
And Sekou, yes, and Sekou. No more Kyle Kuzma, right, Jay?
He's out of there in D.C. doing terrible now. Good for him.
And Melo too, Tony. Forgot about Melo.
Yeah, Melo. Dwight Howard's back. No more
Kendrick
Andre.
Kendrick Nunn.
Oh yeah, can't forget Malik Kendrick Nunn. Monk. Go Grizzlies.
Go Grizzly. Go Golden Grizzlies. It's Golden Grizzlies. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jay. Last but not least, Tyler Sawa. How are you, Tyler? And also, because we're not going to have enough time to actually talk about it on the show, if you want to talk a little Michigan and Michigan State while you're doing your intro, you can do that as well.
I'm doing great, watching playoff baseball as we are currently recording. We got
Braves
and Brewers
on.
No, not hockey right now. Braves and Brewers, 4-4 game in the bottom of the eighth inning. So, Josh Hader's
Tyler,
in right
can
now.
Can I get score updates on that game, if you see any?
I got you. I could text you.
Appreciate it.
Start the game. I got you. But no, I am doing fabulous. A lot better this week. The laptop's working. We're all good this week. No
Yay.
Debbie Downer. You know, everything's all good now. And as far as Michigan State, absolute great weekend for college football. My favorite week this year of the season. Just so many good games, especially the nightcap, starting with the Michigan-Nebraska game, and then you got Alabama-Texas A&M afterwards. That was just an unbelievable fourth quarter to watch. In the 4 o'clock window, you had Iowa and Penn State. So many good football games, and
Don't forget the Red River Showdown, the early window.
I didn't watch the early window, but so.
Well, you still got to mention Oklahoma, Texas, though. Yes. That game was yes. not. That game that was game not was okay. So hot. That game was not that okay. Game was so hot.
the Ole Miss and what do you call it? Arkansas game was unbelievable as well. With
yeah,
the
yeah, there were that, a lot that, of, yeah, that game was just good
kept going back and forth, but no, Michigan State, man, I'm excited, dude, for October 30th. That matchup is going to be so freaking fun. Michigan's on a bye week this week. Michigan State's got a tough matchup this week. Yeah. Oh, and Grant, Indiana's, here's your update. Indiana's Braves got are going to get home run right now. Freddie Freeman. So there's your update. But, yeah, overall, I'm excited for October 30th. It's going to be a hell of a game. I'm excited for next week, our Pistons and Chicago Bulls game. Yeah. It's going to be a great time with or without Cade Cunningham. It would make it a lot better with Cade Cunningham, but it's going to be a great time regardless.
It'd be a lot better with Cade.
Oh, 100%. But it's going to be a great time regardless. So I'm excited. Like I said, no Debbie Downer today. We're in a good mood.
He's feeling good. We'll see if that stays when we talk Lions in a minute here.
I'm fine, man. No, that, like no. Okay, I'm good. He's doing nothing good. Could bring down the mood.
He's
nothing
doing
could bring down
good.
The mood.
He's doing good. Okay, no, we don't need to talk Tigers today to cheer him up.
Now we're watching baseball right now, man. This player baseball's on my screen
that's
right
good,
now.
That's good. But quickly on Michigan State here, then we'll get into the rest of the show. Both 6-0. It definitely seems like we are inching closer and closer to that 7-0 matchup on October 30th in East Lansing between Michigan State. Might be a top 10 matchup now, considering both teams are ranked in the top 10. We'll see what happens over the next 2 weeks, but yeah, things are looking good for both Michigan State right now.
Tony, I have a quick question. So I believe Fox has the rights to that game, right?
I don't know. It hasn't been announced yet.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because I know that the time hasn't been announced, but I just assumed Fox had the right, so it's probably just going to be a big noon kickoff. But a night game on ABC, Michigan State, and East Lansing, undefeated potentially, like that has to happen.
If ESPN has it, then I think for sure they'll flex it 100%, to Saturday yes. night. If Fox has it, which I don't know if they do or not, because that same day, I'm pretty sure Penn State plays Ohio State.
Ooh, so they might have to do what they did this week. You know how they had the two big noon kickoffs? Like yeah. They had the 12 o'clock and the 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do. I also think Iowa plays Wisconsin that Saturday. Like, there's a lot of Big Ten matchups that day. So
that's a good day for Big Ten.
I don't know what's going to happen with that Michigan State game, but it seems like with the way things are going right now, it's going to be 7-0 versus 7-0 top 10 matchup. And
well, you can't count on Michigan State. I mean, you can't count on Indiana this week. You're playing in Indiana this week.
I was never – I'm never counting them out. I'm just saying with the way things are going yeah. right now, I mean, it's going to be 7-0 versus 7-0. But we'll see how these – we'll see how these 2 weeks go. Can't look ahead. Got to focus on your next opponent. For Michigan State, that's Indiana. For Michigan, that's a bye week this week. But then next week, who do you play –
Northwestern. Play Northwestern. Yeah. At the big house.
Yeah, okay. You'll be 7-0 for sure. Michigan State, just take care of Indiana, yeah. and then you'll be 7-0.
And you got the bye week before Michigan, which is huge, a huge advantage.
That's huge for us. That is huge for us, absolutely. Yeah, Saturdays are fun right now for Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, the Michigan game got a little close, but hey, a win is a win. Can't complain about being 6-0 and being top 10 in the country. As for Michigan State, year 2 of Mel Tucker, already in the top 10. And they're already bowl eligible, too. Already. I love it.
Unbelievable.
I love it. Oh, Tuck coming, baby. Let's go.
I love Mel Tucker.
Oh, so do I. So do I. But, gentlemen, nonetheless, good to have everyone back this week. Let's get into the rest of the program. Later on in the show, Red Wings hockey is back. So we are going to do our Red Wings season preview, and I'm going to give Eli and everyone listening 5 things to watch for with the Red Wings this season. If you're like Eli, you're going to try to get into Red Wings hockey this year, I'm going to give you 5 things to look for when watching the Wings this year. Even if this isn't your first year watching, I'm still going to give you five things that I'll be watching for this year.
Wait, Tony, before you start, is one of them to be watching the puck? Because I'm still working on watching the puck.
No, usually hockey fans know where the puck is. So that's just something you're going to have to learn on your own. But we'll do that later on as part of our Red Wings preview as the Wings start their season. And the time this comes out, they'll be starting tomorrow at home against the defending back-to-back champs, the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's later in the show, though. To start our first segment, I do want to begin with the Lions. Now, I don't actually want to talk about that Lions-Vikings game because, well, for one, it's Wednesday. It's been a few days since the game on Sunday. But also, I just don't want to talk about another heartbreaking loss. Even if we were recording this at our normal time on Monday night and releasing this on Tuesday, I really wouldn't want to talk about this this heartbreaking loss. I could only talk about this team so much. I can only go Sunday and a few minutes on Monday, honestly. That's as much Lions as I can take right now in this rebuilding year before I get tired, and I just need to take the rest of the week off from Lions. But despite that, though, I do want to talk about what happened after the game, though, specifically with Dan Campbell's emotional press conference after Sunday's game, because though the team is winless, and though they had another heartbreaker on Sunday in Minnesota, that press conference gave me hope for the direction of this team under Campbell and GM Brad Holmes. Tyler, I want to bring you in here to talk about this. For me, as I tweeted on Sunday, I loved seeing the emotion from MCDC because it shows you he cares about this team and his players. It shows you, and I tweeted this on Sunday, like I said, it shows you he wants to build a winner here as much as the fans want to see a winner be built here with the Lions. And nationally, too, the response to Dan's emotional press conference was positive. I mean, I saw lots of people in the national media, whether it be Pat McAfee, FS1, ESPN, whatever. I saw a lot of people in the national media talk about how, as I've said, how Dan Campbell showing that type of passion and emotion after the game, how much that shows that Dan cares for the guys in that locker room and his team, how much the players are going to respond to that and keep on fighting for him, and just how, though they're winless right now, how this is eventually going to lead to things turning around here. I loved hearing that from the national media. And in general, I loved seeing Dan that passionate after the loss in Minnesota. It shows me he cares, and that's promising. So, Tyler, what about you? What was your reaction to Dan Campbell's press conference on Sunday after the loss to the Vikings?
You could tell it was genuine. You mentioned that. It was just a genuine response. I mean, it was a gut punch, man. I mean, you put that much effort when you're just not expected to win any of these games right now. You're 0-5, but you've put up a good fight in every single one of these battles. Maybe week four, you have your disagreements, whatever, right? But when you compete like that, and it's just you're not on the winning end of the spectrum, it hurts. And you could tell, like you mentioned, Dan Campbell cares, and he wants to win. And his main saying in that presser was, one day we're going to be on the other side of this. And I think every Lions fan, you know, connected. And, you know, there's obviously going to be the fans that are sick of this. And that's fine because they've heard the cliches. But as me personally, as a Lions fan, like, since watching this team, I've never seen a coach that passionate. I'm not saying that necessarily MCDC is going to be the guy to turn this whole thing around, but I've never seen someone so passionate about his job and wanting to turn something around. You know, just alluding to Matt Patricia was just so, you know, vague and blunt. We got to fix the pad level, we got to execute better. Yeah, I mean, and then you go to Jim Caldwell, you got to look at the injury report, and it's just like there was just no emotion. Like, it was just like, okay, we lost the game, you know, it is what it is. But like, Dan Campbell feels these losses, and he's sick of them, and he wants to change it. But what he's doing with this type of roster, which is a very bottom end of the roster, no shots to the guys playing because they're playing their asses off, no shot to them. But what he's doing with this roster, him and his coaching staff, is unbelievable. It is actually unbelievable. And I know they're 0-5, and people are going to say, what does it matter? They're not winning ball games. It's that they're competitive as they are. I mean, they're not folding. They're not folding over. I mean, they had the lead with less than, 40 seconds in that ball game? 40, 50 seconds? Whatever. Yeah, 37, yeah. I mean, they had the lead. They crawled back. They make a play on defense, get the ball back. Their defense gave that Detroit Lions offense 5 attempts to try and score points. I mean, whatever they're doing a hell of a job. So, you know, with Dan Campbell, I really felt that press conference. Mm-hmm. And it, like you said, it just gives you hope for the future and this whole big picture, because we didn't expect many wins this year. And I didn't expect as many gut punches as we've already inherited this early in the season.
It's been 2 and 3 weeks and 2 in the first 5 games.
But, I mean, you would say that's almost a positive sign to a certain degree. Like, not
at
that
least
that
we're not getting blown out.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, it's like not that we're losing the games. It's the positive sign. It's that we expect it just to be terrible, and like that we're just going to get killed every game, and, you know, we'll come here on Monday night and we're going to talk about it, and, you know, there's not going to be much emotion to it because we didn't expect many wins. But that we're feeling the connection that Dan kind of got us, you know, feeling these games, even though we're 0-5 and we're still kind of, I'm not going to say as excited as like years previous to watch the Lions, but like that we're still, you know, ready to tune in every Sunday. That's something to Dan Campbell and what he's doing with this team right now. So, you know, that press conference was deep. It was genuine. And I got all support for him. And I'm cheering for this guy to be a winner in Detroit.
Absolutely. After seeing that, it's easy to be like, hey, I'm pulling for him. I would like to see him turn around here. Grant, I want to go to you, and you'll end us off here on the Lions talk. Grant's not a Lions fan, as we all know. So, Grant, as someone who is an Lions fan, from the outside, when you see that press conference from Dan Campbell, you saw how emotional he got talking about that loss and the guys in his locker room, and he showed how much he cared for this team, this organization, and his guys. What goes through your head, again, as someone who isn't a fan?
I mean, especially as a new player, like a rookie or a Jared Goff piece, I think you buy it. I think you buy back in. Dan Campbell has not given these guys any real reason to, like, distrust him or not think he can get things done. I mean, like, you just look at how the defense played on Sunday, and there, you can tell there's a lot of frustration behind those tears. But you can't be doing this every game. Like, he used his cry, and I don't think you can continue crying, or else then you're going to get looked down on as just, like, just kind of a crybaby. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I can feel his frustration. He wants to win so bad. He's so bought into Detroit. It's a great feeling to see. Like, I'm just being straight up with you. It's amazing to see a guy buy into a team that has given him very little to buy into. They've shown flashes, week one coming back against the Niners. The defensive performance this Sunday, as I mentioned earlier, are two of not many great things that have gone on this year. And he just wants it here. I just want to get a win in the NFL. That was I want Detroit to have a one in the win column or anything but a zero. He wants it here. And I mean, you saw nationwide support from people that don't even care about the Lions. Like, everyone's like, wow, I wish my coach was that bought in. And we kind of talked about it yesterday, so I didn't really bring it up, but you can tell he's not here for a paycheck. He is here to win football games. He's here to turn around Detroit football. I don't think there's a better coach for this position right now.
I'm glad we were able to talk about this rather than another heartbreaking loss. You know, I'm glad we're not talking about blowout losses either. I mean, week one, they fought back against San Francisco. They still lost, but they fought back. Week two in Green Bay on Monday night, they were up at halftime. Didn't play great in the second half, but they were still up at halftime. Week three really should have been a win. Let's just be honest here. It really should have been a win. Justin Tucker nailing the longest field goal in NFL history. Talk about a gut punch right there. Talk about a heartbreak. But that was still a competitive loss for this football team. The Bears game wasn't great, but still only a 24-14 loss, I think it was. And then that game against Minnesota, they fought back, took the lead late, and it was another competitive loss, though they probably should have won that game. And we talked about this off air, not while recording the podcast, just in our group text. And I want to bring it up right now because it's a really good point that we were talking about as a group. The fact that this Lions team right now, this roster, with all the injuries that they have, they could be 2-3 right now instead of 0-5. That's a credit to Dan Campbell and his staff. Because honestly, they could be 2-3 right now. They're not, and they're 0-5. But the fact that this roster could realistically be 2-3 instead of 0-5, that's something you got to give major credit to Dan Campbell and his staff too as well. They are winless.
Yeah, they're like
yes.
5 seconds away from 2-3. If I can just touch on that.
No,
they're 5 seconds away.
They are two long field goals, one of them being the longest in NFL history. They are two long kicks away from being 2-3 with this roster, with all these injuries. Yeah, I mean, I know they're winless, but they're fighting for their coach. It's competitive losses for the most part. And as we've talked about, it seems like the people in charge have a direction. Gives me hope. It really, really gives me hope as a Lions fan.
If I could just add one quick thing to it.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, just something real quick. It's just like, you know, I agree with Grant really quickly. He was just saying, like, I know you can't, like, just keep crying at the podium. You can't. Like, the Lions have to finish one of these games at some point during the season. Like,
I think they will. I don't think they go winless.
I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying at some point, like, soon. It's got to be, like, soon with all these gut punches.
Yeah,
you know, you just kind of got to show the locker room. It's like we're fighting our tails off week in and week out in practice on the field. You know, they just got to finish one of these games because you could only take so many gut punches before the players start. Just like, man, what am I doing? Because it's a young locker room as well. And, you know, we said it. We don't expect many wins, but you just got to finish one of these games out where you either have a full complete game where you just play good football or you win one of these nail-biter games like that Minnesota game. Like, that just would have been great for the locker room. And the Lions need one of those very soon because it will help the locker room, you know, so much right now because, like I mentioned, these guys are fighting their tails off every week.
There's two things I want to say about that. One, this goes back to a point I made when we hired Dan Campbell and also a similar point that I made before the season started. In a season like this, and with the way things have gone right now with all these heartbreaking losses, this is where having a former player as your head coach could really help you because that's someone who's really going to understand how to get your guys to get back up the next week and keep on fighting. You know, a former player is going to absolutely know how to do that, and he's going to get his guys to get back up and just keep on going. So that's one point that I want to make. And then the second point that I want to make here, this is another thing that we were talking about off air in our group text, and I want to bring it up again right now. I think it was Pat McAfee who brought this up on his show. If it wasn't, I apologize to the person that actually brought this up. But after seeing a press conference like that from Dan Campbell, after a heartbreaking loss in which he was so emotional, I cannot wait to see a press conference after a win, even in a season like this, maybe especially in a season like this. Now that I think about it, especially in a season like this, I cannot wait to see a Dan Campbell press conference after a win. Maybe he gets his coffee order and just chugs it right in front of the microphone. Like, I don't know what he's going to do after a win.
I think the players got to spill the Gatorade, the Gatorade jug on him. You know what's going to be great?
They got to throw a party like Club Dub.
Yeah. You know the Lions when they release those videos, like after the locker room when they win? like with the coaches speaking to players. Yeah. That's gonna be a thriller with the MCDC.
MCDC might spike a football and it goes through the ceiling. It might bounce right through the ceiling, honestly.
It'll go through the floor first.
And then bounce back up through the roof.
The video is gonna be amazing.
I can't wait. I can't wait, period, for MCDC to get a win. Jay, is there something you wanted to add?
I think, like you said about the Dan Campbell being a former player, helped because, like, you know, our last coach, he didn't, his emotion when we lost, you can just tell, like,
got to execute better.
Either he didn't care. I don't want to say the guy's name. Patricia. Anyway, he didn't really, the locker room, once you do the locker room, like, and you have no chemistry in the locker room, it's not going to work. So I feel like him being a former player, knowing how hard it is to lose certain games. And I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't cry on the podium, but, like, that's, like, raw emotion. So, as a player, you're like, okay, like, he's locked in with us. So, if we lose, he loses too, like.
Yeah.
So, once they win, it'll finally come together. But I like Dan Campbell.
I do, too.
Lot.
I really like Dan Campbell a lot. And Brad Holmes, too. Like I've said, it gives me hope for the future. It gives me hope to see a press conference like that. And it gives me optimism going forward that who we have in charge right now, whether it be at GM, coach, whatever, gives me optimism that these are going to be the people to eventually lead us to where we want to go. It's going to take time, but that's fine. It'll be worth it in the end, hopefully. All right, gentlemen, let's move into our final segment today. Woo-wee! It is finally time to talk Red Wings hockey. Dun, 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 dun. We are so back. Red Wings hockey is back. The AHL is back. I am fired up. Let's talk Red Wings hockey, gentlemen. The Wings 2021-22 season, at the time we release this, will begin tomorrow at home against the Lightning, the defending back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. So today, for our Red Wings preview, I want to go over five things I think you should watch for, and I think Eli should watch for in his first legitimate Red Wings NHL season. Five things I think you should watch for with the Wings this season. Before that, though, let me say this to start. Let me just actually give my thoughts about this team going into the season before I talk about the five things I think you should watch for. I'm not saying playoffs. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I do think the Wings are going to be more fun to watch this year. I really do. I've told Eli this before on and off the pod. If there's a year to start watching the Wings, I really do think it is this year. And that goes for anyone listening right now, too. Again, not saying playoffs, but I think this year is going to be a lot more fun to watch than it definitely has been in previous years. Because, I mean, listen, last year with a way worse roster than we have right now, the Wings were fighting to end the year. Kind of like the Lions in a way. It was competitive losses, but at the same time, the Wings were winning a few games to close out the year last year that they probably should not have won. And again, like I said, that was with a way worse roster than what we have right now. This season, our top two prospects in the system, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider, they are on the 23-man roster. They are going to start the season with the Red Wings. That is so, so exciting. Because those are our top two prospects. Our top two guys. They're on the 23-man roster to start the season. Both of them, I think, are going to be stars. And we get to watch them this year. I'm super excited for that. Also, we have, I think I saw on Twitter on Tuesday, the fifth or sixth youngest roster in the league, which is great. That's super encouraging for the rebuild as well. We get to watch other young guys on this team play, other than Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. And we get to see what those younger players have to offer, too. I think we got better on defense after adding a player like Nick Leddy to pair with Mo Sider. I think that's going to be a really good pairing for Mo. I think we're absolutely better at goaltender after adding Alex Nedeljkovic. We could be a lot better on our power play. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited to watch the Wings this year. And though I'm not expecting playoffs, I'm still thinking this will probably be a lottery team. Though I'm not thinking playoffs, I think we'll be better. And I think we will be a lot more fun to watch this year for sure. Now, before I get into my five things to watch for with the Wings this season, Eli, I really need you to be honest with me. Please be honest with me. How much Red Wings hockey are you actually going to watch this year?
I would like to say just under 50% of the games, maybe.
That's not bad.
Like, if I told you a while back off air, if the Pistons aren't on and there's nothing else I'd rather watch on, I will turn on the Red Wings.
Hey, you're going to watch, though.
Yeah, I'm going to start learning, you know, I'm going to start learning the sport from scratch. I had to do that a couple years ago for football, and now I think I know most things about football.
That's good. That's good. Well, step one, learn where the puck is.
Yeah, man. I wish it was like highlighter green or something, man. It would be a lot better. I think they should make a change.
No, do not make it highlighter green. Thank you very much.
Play glow-in-the-dark hockey.
No, let's not do that. So with that, let's now get into five things I think you should watch for the Wings this year. Five things I think Eli should watch for the Wings this year, considering this will be his first real season watching the Red Wings. And five things I want the rest of the guys in the group to watch for too when they watch Red Wings hockey, whenever that might be. So let's get into it. This is in no order, by the way. This is in no order outside of number one. The number one thing I think you all should watch for the Wings this year is clearly Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. As I said, these are the top two prospects in the system, and I'm going to make a Tigers analogy here. You know how last week we were talking about the Tigers, we talked about Torque and Riley Green, and we talked about how both of them are going to be up here in 2022, and that's going to be super exciting to watch next summer? Well, in the Red Wings case, that's happening this season. Our top two guys are starting the season in Hockey Town. And it's going to be so much fun to watch. I really think highly of both of these guys. Starting with Mo Sider, the first ever pick by Steve Yzerman as the Red Wings GM. A lot of people, including myself, were confused by the draft pick initially. Mo back in that draft, I think it was 2019. A lot of people, like a lot of experts, had him ranked as like a mid to late first round pick, and we took him 6th overall, I believe it was. A lot of people were confused by that, but that's why you never doubt Steve Yzerman, because Mo Sider is an absolute beast. The dude can play. He is going to be a star for us. You are probably going to see on most nights, he's going to have a highlight hit where he just absolutely rocks somebody. I mean, Mo Sider, man. He's a machine. There's no other way for me to put it. He is an absolute machine, and I think he is truly going to be a star for us. As for Lucas Raymond, he was our 4th overall pick in 2020. More of a playmaker than a scorer, but do not sleep on his scoring ability. This dude can shoot the puck, and he can score. He's an excellent playmaker, but he can't score that puck too. He had a goal in the preseason where it was just, oh, it was just a filthy snipe by him. Lucas Raymond played so well in the preseason, and going back to the Tigers analogy, next summer when Riley Green and Torque are up here, it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. For the Red Wings, that's happening right now. Our top two prospects are on the 23-man roster to start the season. Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond, they are going to be beasts, and I absolutely cannot wait. A lot of people nationally are really talking about them as being like rookie of the year favorites, but just you watch. These two people are going to learn their names nationally. Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. Remember the names, ladies and gentlemen. So Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider, that is the top thing I think you all should watch for with the Red Wings this season. That is in order. That is the number one thing. After that, this isn't in order. I'm just going to be talking here. And I'm going to try to make this quick too because we are running out of time here. But the other things I think you should watch for this year, again, in no order, let's start with Dylan Larkin, the captain of this team. Listen, I love Dylan Larkin. Who doesn't love Dylan Larkin? Everyone loves Dylan Larkin. But here's the thing with him going into the season. I think it's a big year for him because again, he is the captain of this team. And if, though we love him, we got to be honest with ourselves. It was a down year last year for Dylan. And when you're the captain of the team, it's fair to have your expectations raised just a little bit higher than others on the team. And when you're the captain, can't have down years like he did last year. And I get the COVID season, the shortened season, and all that. It was a messed up year. There's no denying that. But still, when you're the captain of the team, your expectations are higher. Can't have a down year like that. You can't. So, Dylan Larkin, this year, hopefully he's healthy. Hopefully it's a bounce back year for him. Another player I think you should watch for this year is Tyler Bertuzzi. Now, Tyler Bertuzzi, he's interesting. He's really, really interesting. And I say that because I honestly would not be shocked if this is his last year at the Red Wings. I honestly wouldn't. The way I feel about Tyler Bertuzzi coming into this season, it's similar to how I felt about Anthony Mantha going into last year and how I felt about Andreas Athanasiou 2 years ago. There was once a time with all three of these players, Bertuzzi, Mantha, Athanasiou, there's once a time where us Red Wing fans, including myself, thought that these were three building blocks for the future, and these are three guys to keep around through the rebuild, and these are guys you build around, you know? But 2 years ago with Andreas Athanasiou, so this would be 2019-2020, during the year, wasn't the best year for Andreas Athanasiou. It got to a point where we started to hear his name at the trade deadline, and me personally, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Stevie does it. I wouldn't be mad either. Well, Stevie did it. Traded him to Edmonton. I believe they got 2 second-round picks for him. Last year, Anthony Mantha, same thing. Though we once thought he was going to be a franchise piece for this team, it's a bit of a down year for him. And at the trade deadline, started to hear some rumblings. And guess what? Stevie traded him to Washington for that monster return that included a first-round pick and Jacob Vrana, who, though unfortunately, is going to miss some time to start the season. And now this year with Tyler Bertuzzi. Honestly, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if this is his last year at the Red Wings. Though we once thought that he was going to be a franchise piece, I really don't know with Tyler Bertuzzi. Last year, he had the back issue. I think it was a back issue. And now we're coming into the season not knowing how healthy he's going to be or how he's going to look coming off of that injury either. You know, he hasn't played hockey in a long time. So we don't know how healthy he is, and we don't know how he's going to look coming off of that injury. There's also some contract questions with Tyler Bertuzzi. There's also the vaccine thing. He's not going to be able to play in Canada. There's just a lot of things with Tyler Bertuzzi right now, and I don't know. I would not be surprised if we have an Andreas Athanasiou, Anthony Mantha situation here where at the trade deadline, Steve Yzerman could look to move Tyler Bertuzzi. It wouldn't shock me at all. So watch for him this year. Watch for Dylan Larkin. Also, watch for Alex Nedeljkovic. I am so excited to watch Alex Nedeljkovic this season. I was so pumped when Steve Yzerman made that move this offseason. We only traded Jonathan Bernier in a third, too, if I remember correctly. I mean, we traded nothing to get Alex Nedeljkovic, who finished in the top three of the NHL's Rookie of the Year voting last year. And you might be thinking to yourself, if you're not a big hockey person, oh, well, why would Carolina get rid of Alex Nedeljkovic then if that was the case? I don't know. I saw some reports, don't know how true they are or not, but I saw some reports talking about how Carolina got rid of him because something along the lines of they thought that he peaked, maybe? I don't know, but all I do know is that we got him pretty much for nothing. Because Jonathan Bernier, too, he went to New Jersey anyway. So we got Nedeljkovic for nothing, and I was so excited about that move because the Red Wings, they really had no short-term or long-term answers at goaltender. Well, now we've got a young goaltender who I think is one of the better up-and-coming goaltenders in the NHL. I mean, he sure as heck played like it last year, that's for sure. So, yeah, I'm really excited for Alex Nedeljkovic. I'm excited to see what he could do with his team this year. I think him and Thomas Greiss could be a really good 1-2 punch together. Excited for Nedeljkovic. And then lastly, My final thing, I think Eli and all of you should watch for with the Red Wings this year are the other young guys on this team. You know, it's more than just Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider and Alex Nedeljkovic. You know, as I said earlier in the segment, I saw on Twitter on Tuesday that the Red Wings are like the fifth or sixth youngest team in the entire league. There are other young guys to watch for this year. Philip Zadina, Joe Valeno, though he is going to start the year in Grand Rapids. However, he will be up here at some point this year, you would think. Zadina, Joe, Pugh Suter, who I really like, by the way. That was another offseason move that I like from Stevie Y. Pugh Suter, Rasmussen, Adam Ernie, Giovanni Smith, Gustav Lindstrom. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's more young players to watch for on the wings this year than just Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider and Nedeljkovic, too. It's a lot of young guys to watch for this year, and as I've said throughout the segment here, I'm really excited. I'm not saying playoffs, but I'm excited for the Red Wings this year. With that, ladies and gentlemen, those are the five things I think Eli and all of you should watch for with the Red Wings this season. Any
can
comments?
Can we open up a Red Wings questionnaire? Q&A?
Q&A, let's go. Might as well.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Who's got a question I'll answer for you?
I have a question. Okay. So you mentioned the Red Wings are not going to be probably not a playoff team, right?
No.
So I'm just interested. We've talked about this, but I want to put this on air. So we just watched the Detroit Tigers season, which I'm more familiar with. They weren't a playoff team, but a fun, exciting team to watch, a young baseball team. Would you almost kind of compare that to the Detroit Red Wings this year?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the Wings are going to be a lot more fun to watch this year than they have in previous years. I mean, last year with a way worse roster, they were competitive to end the year. They were winning some games they weren't supposed to. And as I've said, that was with a way worse roster than we have now. That's when we had Valtteri Filppula skating around. That's when we had Darren Helm and Luke Glendening.
I was just going to say that.
Like, we had a bunch of veterans on this team who we knew were not going to be long-term pieces. Meanwhile, this year, Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider, Philip Zadina, even though he played last year, but you've got Pugh Suter. You're going to have Valeno at some point this year. Rasmussen, Ernie, Smith, Lindstrom. Like, there's so many other young guys on this team, you know? So, yeah.
Okay.
I think they will be fun this year, though.
So it's a team to definitely tune into. Is Danny DeKeyser still skating for this team?
Believe it or not, he is.
Okay.
Believe it or not, he is still skating around. Yes.
Okay. Fellas, guys, got any questions?
Eli, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Is anyone left on the team that I would know, or is it all?
I mean, do you know Dylan Larkin?
Yes.
You know Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah, but I'm talking to...
He's talking about Henrik Zetterberg. I mean, Valtteri Filppula was just on the team last year. He came back.
I'm talking about the Zetterberg era.
I'm pretty sure...
Is Chris Tilio still playing?
No.
His restaurant's not even still open.
No, Chris Chelios is not still playing.
We definitely still got Osgood riding the bench, right?
You can see him on Bally Sports.
On Bally Sports, yes.
sometimes they put him between.
Chris Osgood is really good on Bally Sports, by the way. But I think I could be wrong about this. I think I saw after he left, I think Darren Helm was the last player from that 2008 Stanley Cup team still on the roster. Could be wrong. But Darren Helm.
I like him. He's the guy that bashed Jalen Green. No, that was McCarthy, wasn't it?
That was probably Jalen.
Look at me.
That was probably D-back.
That was McCarthy. Never mind. Why would Darren Helm bash Jalen Green?
I was going to say, what?
I caught myself. Good, 2008. Yeah.
Eli, do you know Darren Helm even though he's not on the team no more?
Yeah, I remember hearing that name a lot.
Yeah, he's gone.
A lot of the names, like I Googled the Red Wings roster, and I'm like, yeah, I know a lot of these names. I probably wouldn't be able to put a number or a face to them, but like all these, like Adam Ernie, I can just hear the Red Wings commentator just saying that name. Like,
do you know who the Red Wings commentator is? He's got a name and deserves to go by that name.
He does, but I don't know it, so I didn't say it.
Ken Daniels, Mickey Redmond.
Yes. I know Mickey Redmond, yes.
Ken and Mickey are just... They are the best.
Nobody's coming close to them.
They are great together, yes.
Yeah, they're just one of the best. They're just one of the best duos in sports. I mean, like Ken Daniels calls like, you know, I don't know if he's going to do it now with ESPN, but he was doing some of the NBC games.
NBC games.
Some of the national TV games. But I don't know if that's with ESPN, if they're going to keep doing that with him. But, yeah, no, I mean, he's highly thought probably of, obviously. Not. Yeah, he's highly thought of just overall in the league, not just, you know, in Detroit.
Any other questions before we get out of here, gentlemen? We are really running out of time.
All right, the Wings over-under for points this season is set at 77.5. Where are we sitting?
Sheesh, that's a tough one.
I know, that's kind of spot where I had him.
I'm going to go slightly over.
I like that.
Slightly over. Not anything close to 90. No, no. No. But I think, like, you said 76?
77.5.
77, yeah, I think the number I'm thinking is 78. So yeah, if you took the over, that yeah.
You get plus odds for betting over.
Yeah. Well,
I'm excited, man. Tomorrow is Red Wings hockey.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm excited for this year. I'm not thinking playoffs or anything, but I think it's gonna be a really fun season.
Tomorrow, as in?
Yeah, I'm alluding to like because the episode will be dropping tomorrow.
Okay,
so.
Got it.
Tyler got it correct. This will be coming out Wednesday, so it is tomorrow. And again, I'm really excited. I think this could be a fun year for the Red Wings. One of the youngest rosters in the league, Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider, Nedeljkovic. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this year. All right, gentlemen. I think that's a good way to wrap up today's show. Talked a lot today. Got some Pistons talk in there. Some Lions talk with MCDC. And the Red Wings preview. It's a good show today. And I'm so excited to have Red Wings hockey back. Next week, too, Pistons preview, as I have teased already throughout the show today. Looking forward to that as well. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening this week. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Dabrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next time.